season, Cubs had to wait through a lengthy rain delay at the friendly confines, but when things got going, the Phils got swinging.
The 2-2. Drilled in the air, deep left center, trouble, and that ball is long gone. Three-run homer Tommy Joseph, and the Phillies have scored four in the opening inning. And another rocky first inning for a Cubs starting pitcher. Tall right-handed batter, doubled to drive in the game's first run, lines a base hit to left center. This will drive in two. And Altair will have his second double of the night. A frozen rope into left center. Phillies lead 6-0. Here's the line drive in the center. That'll be a base hit. Rounding third, Altair heading home. The throw will be cut off. And then Baez throws late to the plate, sliding in and scoring as Altair on the base hit by Herrera. And it is now 7-0.
Yeah, normally that would not be a run because normally Juan Samuel would not send the runner. But because John Jay catches this ball deep into center field, but he gets the ball well before Altair gets to third base. But because of the wet ground, the ball is just not going to be easy to throw.
Crowd wants some action. A ball and two strikes. The Philly right-hander Velasquez set and deals. Zobrist lines one toward left field. That's going to be a diving catch by Altair. What a play by the big left fielder. He came in, hesitated, and then after all decided to make a dive and speared that ball inches off the turf as he slid on his chest on the wet grass. What a play. Cubs getting a break in the inning. Two walks and a hit batsman in a game in which they trail by 7 runs. Contreras had a sharp single into left field his first time. The fans sense the importance of this moment. And you can hear them making some noise. And the 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. He got it. Velasquez strikes out Contreras on a high fastball. The Cubs do not score.
The Phillies pound the Cubs 10-2. The world champs are 4-6 at Wrigley Field this season. The Cubs have now allowed 32 first-inning runs this season. That is the worst figure in the major leagues. It was a long night for Joe Maddon in more ways than one, as he watched his team fall into a 7-0 hole after waiting out a lengthy rain delay. The Cubs skipper shared his thoughts on Monday's 10-2 loss to the Phillies.
I'm glad we played it. The split doubleheader is no fun right now. We have a game every day this week. The weather's going to be off and on regardless. It's the same way for both sides. So we just, Andy had a tough night. I mean, obviously, there's no other way to slice it. We've been having to come from behind often over the last week to 2 weeks, and so it's not easy to continually do, especially when you're getting your bed at 5 a.m. No excuses. I'm just saying because Andy came in a day in advance. So when you have a tough pitching night like that, it makes it difficult for the team.
Joe, is there a reasonable explanation for the rash of first inning runs that the team's given up?
Yeah, so many things in our game are cyclical, and I just think it's just one of those moments we're going through. It's you know, the guys are doing the same thing they did last year, which was pretty successful. We were very good at not giving up early runs last year. Now we are. I do believe it's going to go away. It's very frustrating while it lasts, but there's not a whole lot you can do except stay with the routine, stay with the process, which I will. And it'll come back to us. But it was a tough night, I think. You know, we stayed with it pretty good, keeping it at 7, even 7-1. I felt okay because the wind was blowing out pretty good. And it's just a matter of if we get to a different bullpen guy, you never know what can happen. Kimbrough was doing so well, had 2 outs, got 5 outs, and then all of a sudden they scored a couple, 3 more runs. And that, obviously, that finished it off. But even at 7-1, under those circumstances, I didn't think – that's almost like a 4-run lead to me under the weather circumstances tonight.
It was a rough night, like you said, but what do you take out of it the way you were able to, like, shuffle the lineup at the end, try some guys?
Well, Schwarb's got the catch, you're right. I mean, I'm always looking for the silver lining. Miggy got an at-bat on his naturalization day. I thought that was kind of cool. Baez looked good tonight. Javi looked really good, at the plate and in the field. I mean, I prefer not having to do all that stuff, but I thought another really positive was Montgomery's performance. I thought he was outstanding tonight. Curveball was really good. Changeup was really good. He was actually very good, and we got him stretched out to 50-some pitches, which is also important. Again, I mean, it's hard to, you know, I don't want to attempt to rationalize anything. We had a horrible night, but I think the takeaways are stretching out Montgomery and Schwarber getting behind the plate a little bit, and I thought Javi kind of probably is going to leave feeling pretty good about himself tonight.
It's just two innings, but what do you think of Schwarber behind the plate?
Fine. I mean, he's fine back there. I don't want to do it too often. I just wanted to keep him current. Like, if there's a game in progress and things were to happen and we have to throw him back there, that even those two innings matter. Just getting him a little refresher course back there. There's nothing to really evaluate. I thought he looked comfortable. He has his routine with Mike Borzello in between innings. They did that. He went out there and he was fine. Schwarber's really not intimidated by a whole lot. So I think moving forward a couple of years from now, as he gets a chance to catch more often, he's going to be very good back there. But for right now, it's just good to keep him active.
Joe, with regards to Schwarber,
yes, sir.
How long do you keep him in the leadoff spot? He's hitting under 200.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I mean, his on base is still over 300. You know, it's the disparity between his batting average is what's down. You know, he's over 100 points higher on base over batting average. So he's going to hit. So as that batting average comes up, I also think part of that's going to be he's going to walk more often, then all of a sudden everybody's going to like it again. It has nothing to do with how he's hitting. I mean, I like him there, and he's going to stay there. And it has, I always look at on base over batting average. I don't think he's a 200 hitter. I think he's a much better than a 200 hitter. So just naturally by hitting for a better average, he's still going to accept his walks. And then all of a sudden that's going to get back up into that 35 to 37% on base, which is what we're looking for. And I still love when he comes up when the bottom of the batting order gets on. He hasn't been as productive as I thought to this point, but he will be.
It was certainly a night to forget for Brett Anderson, who was pounded by Philly bats to the tune of 7 runs in just an inning and a third. The veteran shared his thoughts in the aftermath of Monday's 10-2 setback.
You know, see John or Jake or whoever, you know, at least give your team a chance to win, and with their, you know, not A-plus stuff, and you try to do your part, but today it was just a battle from the first pitch, and obviously wasn't very successful.
Later in the first inning, you got the 2-2, and Joseph, you're just one pitch away from maybe getting out of that with
That was the biggest pitch, game. Just trying to throw a sinker down the way, left it middle, up, you know, one of the few pitches he could drive, and regardless of the conditions, and threw it into his barrel, and the rest of his history. There are no positives to gain from this outing. With the game starting late yesterday, and then the team getting in late, and you want to go out there and give your team a chance to win. Have 5 starts now. I think I'm averaging 3 or 4 innings a start, which is embarrassing from my perspective. But hopefully going forward, I can pitch better and give us a chance.
The Cubs will look to bounce back on Tuesday behind John Lester, who opposes Jeremy Hellickson.